Welcome to Personnel Matters, the official podcast of the Air Force Personnel Center, hosted by Major General Jefferson O'Donnell.
Welcome to Personnel Matters. I am Major General Jefferson O'Donnell, commander of AFBC and your podcast host. I'd like to welcome back your Air Force's Personnel Center senior enlisted leader, Chief Ludd. Welcome back, Chief.
Thanks, General. Good to be here.
Always good to have you here. Now, we're here to provide information and updates on the programs and processes at the Air Force's Personnel Center that guide and support your career. This podcast is also a direct line where you can reach out to me with questions, concerns, or suggestions. Today, we want to talk about the legacy and the development of the Air Force and Space Forces of tomorrow. It's a topic that's crucial for the growth and advancement of our force, developmental duty assignments. Previously designated as developmental special duties, or DSD, developmental duty assignments are those jobs focused on the growth and skill development of our entire force. And I want to highlight that we're specifically talking about our enlisted airmen. For officers, a similar thing would be our officer, instructor, and recruiting special duty, OINRSD. Today, we're focused on our enlisted developmental duties.
General, one interesting thing throughout the course of my career is that I actually never had the opportunity to do a DSD assignment or one of these special duties assignments. I would say that's not indicative of most airmen out there and the opportunities that they get. And I would start with asking folks to kind of seek out and look for those opportunities because they're just that. They're going to develop you. Sometimes a common one, I would say, is MTI. And one of the things that I would commonly get when I would talk to airmen that I thought would be good or young NCOs that I thought would be good, hey, you should go and you should consider going and being an MTI is, oh, that's not for me. Or my leadership style is this. I'm a little too reserved. I don't think I would do good in that environment. And what I would encourage them to think about is understand that we're going to train you to do that. And it's actually another leadership tool that you can definitely put in your toolbox.
Chief, and you said two things there that I kind of keyed in on. Is one is like, you know, development isn't comfortable. It's stretching ourselves and being stretched and learning. And so that willingness to kind of lean forward, we all raised our hand and volunteered to serve. This is a kind of a continuation of that, is just leaning in, volunteering to do something that you may not know much about and you may not be sure about. But just like we did when you raised your hand and joined the service, we're going to help train you and develop you and give you the skills to be able to serve. And the other thing is what you mentioned is it's not just about the airman who's volunteering. It's about leaders. The leaders and the supervisors and those mentors, make sure that you engage with your airmen and let them know what value this duty is.
So, General, the program has gone through a lot of changes, and we'll kind of get into that. But when you talk about the importance of developmental duty in these positions is these positions we're going to talk about, they are foundational positions in my mind. These are the positions that are responsible for delivering the force that we need to execute the answer whenever our nation calls. You see it in real world ops today. All of those folks started somewhere in basic training. There was a recruiter recruiting someone. There were NCOs developing them when they got out of basic training and going on to their functional schools and all of those things. That's what we're talking about. These are the type of developmental positions, and that's why it's so important.
Yeah, absolutely, Chief. Well, we have a subject matter expert with us today to talk about developmental duties and to guide us through some of those nuances. Our expert is from our enlisted assignment section. Now, she has more than 17 years in the Air Force and hails from Biloxi, Mississippi. Senior Master Sergeant Select Brittany Moore has been a pivotal member of AFPC for 3 years. Now, she currently leads the AFPC Enlisted Developmental Duty Assignments team, managing more than 5,000 developmental duty and local hire positions across the Air Force. Welcome, Master Sergeant Moore.
Thank you so much, sir. It's good to be here.
Great to have you here. So what are the 8 developmental duty assignments?
Sir, as Chief just alluded to, these are foundational positions for the Air and Space Forces of tomorrow. It's where our core values and our standards are established and reinforced to readiness. These are very important positions, and I think everyone should at least give it a look as they're going through their careers and find the opportunities for themselves. They include military training instructors, training leaders, U.S. Air Force military training NCOs, officer accessions instructors, first sergeants, enlisted accessions recruiters, and PME instructors and developmental advisors.
Thanks. And Chief, we talked about this, we mentioned it's voluntary, right? So these people are making a real difference. What was the shift when we went to a volunteer-centric process?
Well, if folks remember, and those of us that worked the dreaded spreadsheet and the quota and all of that that we had, your MAGCOM A1s, were basically helping to make sure that we would send a list of eligible folks on a spreadsheet down to the A1s, and then every wing would basically look at all of those folks within a window of time to nominate the folks that we thought needed to be in one of these developmental special duty assignments at the time. As we changed it to developmental duty, and we'll talk a little bit more where we look at a lot more than just those eight AFSCs, we thought, why not first make this a volunteer opportunity? So now we use Equal Plus on Talent Marketplace and my vector to say, hey, these are the positions that are open. Put your name in a hat, and then it really becomes the nominative process. So then your application is turned over to a screening team. When you go through that screening, that's where the commander and the command chief, their vectors are still a part of that, and we make sure that the individual is still the right person for those jobs, but at least they're volunteering, and that's at a time that works for the NCO as well.
Right, and I think the biggest part about that is giving the airman a chance to actually volunteer. A lot of the things before was about the leadership making that decision. Now the airman has a say in their opportunity and what they want to do with their career. And another key part of that is the career field release. This is a new tool that HAF A1 uses to determine releases based on your career field health. Generally, if the career field is at least around 85% manned or better, there should be a release available for that career field.
Sergeant Moore, that is important. The career field release is a critical element to the program success. Sergeant Moore, tell us a little bit about local hires, and do they still need career field release?
Yes, sir. So local hires do require career field releases. They are managed by the command chiefs, local command chiefs, but they require that initial release from the career field. And this includes developmental advisors, protocol, airman dorm leaders, ALS, anything like that that's local at your base, you're going to need a career field release.
Oh, excellent. That's good to know. That's very important because, of course, we need to make sure that, and it's one thing we focus here too, is just across the department, we're making sure that our missions are adequately manned to be able to meet all the mission demands. And this is a very important thing that we need to continue as well with the developmental duty selections. Now, we've talked about what the value is to the Air Force and to the Department of the Air Force and why we do developmental duty assignments. But are for the individual airmen selected, like, what does that mean for them?
General, that's a great question. And I would say it's perspective, right? When I think about developmental duty and I think about anything from being an MTI, a recruiter, let's just say even maybe you're going to be the command chief exec, right? You get an opportunity to lead in an area outside of your functional community where you're very comfortable. You mentioned earlier being uncomfortable. But what I've seen the biggest benefit over the years is the perspective that it changes, right? All of a sudden, you're looking at the Air Force through a different lens when you've had an opportunity to serve as an MTI for 3 years. You get an opportunity to serve on a front office staff in a wing, working for the command chief or working in the CAG, one of those out of hide type positions. You know, you're hearing the wing senior leadership daily. It's going to change your perspective and your thought. And I mean, that is where the core value comes in to raising your hand and looking for an opportunity for one of these roles.
Chief, those are great points. And I'd just like to add that I know when we have heard from airmen who have participated in DSD or developmental duty assignments in the past, and from their supervisors who gained them and their commanders afterwards, it's all positive. I mean, they have great experiences. They feel like they've contributed. They're valued and valuable in what they did to shape the airmen or to recruit and all those things that they did in those developmental duties. And they're able to take, as you said, those kind of tools, put them in the toolkit, take them for later and be able to apply them in other forms of leadership roles and responsibilities that they have. So just an incredible opportunity. And so now that we've convinced you all to go in and sign up, Sergeant Moore, remind them again, how does that work?
Yes, to start the process, it's done in MyVector. So you go to MyVector, the airmen who want to apply will click on the talent marketplace tile, and then they can go to Equal Plus. Under Equal Plus, they can search for whichever special duty they'd like. It's a two-phase process. So just because you clicked on the button, there's another part to that. So I just want people to understand, you just clicking the button does not get you in. You got to click the button. Then we do a second phase, which is going to be the actual application part. So phase one is simply expressing your interest by applying to the ad, which is the first critical part. And then the second part is once the ads close, we're going to vet those volunteers, making sure they have PCS eligibility and that there is a career field release available for them. And then we submit their names to the hiring teams, and then they begin the process.
So what is that timeline, the anomaly, if it moves through the system, and when would an airman who applies expect to hear something?
Depending on the AFSC that they're applying to, it could take 3 to 6 months for the entire process to go through from applying to hire.
Sergeant Moore, great point when you say 3 to 6 months, and that is important. I would offer that 6 months is an anomaly. Typically, these things do not take up to 6 months, but depending on the situation, it may take a little bit longer. We typically are getting these turned in 1 to 2 months on average. Because what I need people to understand is that you are coded. You're block coded when we are looking at you in this window. So we don't want you coded that long. So when I say you're block coded, we're not going to consider you for any other special duty or some other job that you might be trying to volunteer for. So we want to turn that package pretty quick. Also, at the same time, I'll chuckle a little bit and I'll say, and if somebody thinks they're going to apply for a job, be block coded, so it's going to prevent them from getting non-vault somewhere else. We're watching that as well, so it's really not going to work out for you in that way. The point I need to make here is a sense of urgency for everybody. Supervisors doing their part. When they have to do interviews and make their decisions and their recommendations, and then the member making sure that if you have to get a medical evaluation or the different things that come with different special duties, you're doing these parts so that it doesn't impact negatively other aspects of things that we might need to consider you for or that you'd want to be considered for.
Now, I've learned a lot during this podcast because, of course, like I said at the beginning, developmental duty isn't something that specifically I have ever been eligible for as an officer. But I know that there are great airmen that are out there that are doing this. And, you know, whether it's, like you said, chief recruiting or instructor, any of those other duties, MTIs. And so they're just such great opportunities for airmen to have a chance to lead and mentor and build the future Air Force. And as you said, it's not in their core area where they're comfortable, but these are great opportunities to impact our Air Force and our Space Force. So I really appreciate the conversation and the discussion. So thanks, Master Sergeant Moore. Thanks, Chief Ludd. As always, if you have questions or issues you would like us to address, look for our contact information in our summary from your Air Force's Personnel Center, where our mission is people first. I'm General O'Donnell. Thank you for listening.
We hope you found this episode informative and helpful in taking charge of your career. Be sure to subscribe on Divots and visit our AFPC website for more resources. Have a question or topic suggestion? Reach out to us. Links to the sites and services presented in this episode of Personnel Matters, along with our website and email address, are on the podcast page. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.